Alright, what's up everybody? Panos here from the Puck Empire Instagram page and the podcast. And we are with episode 6 now. We're recording it. It's probably gonna be our last one of like the off season, or one of our last ones of the off season, because preseason's coming up just around the corner. Since our last recording, probably two of the biggest free agents on the market have signed, and Nazem Kadri with Calgary and Phil Kessel with Vegas. And both ones, I was either asleep or no Wi-Fi to post them for hours, so that was great. But let's talk about that for a bit. You guys are both Flames fans, so how do you feel about the Kadri signing with Calgary?
Yeah, Kevin, I'll let you go first.
All right. I'm super stoked. I'm very excited to have a player like Kadri on the Flames. He's a great fit. Makes that center depth one of the best in the league, because that was a huge position of weakness for them if they want to be a cup contending team. So adding Kadri just makes their center core that much better. And I don't care about the 7 years. I don't care about the age. It's good that the Flames recognize their window is now. So instead of just wasting the years of their older core guys, or going all in.
Yeah, it makes most sense. Like, obviously, like initial reaction after what went down, the knee-jerk reaction, I would say, after Gaudreau and Tkachuk had their way out of Calgary, it was one of kind of confusion and wanting the team to rebuild, but realistically that was never going to happen. So I think with the direction that this team is headed in currently, with the Kadri signing and obviously shipping off Sean Monahan in order to get cap for that deal, I think it's great. As Kevin said, it answers a question mark that has been with this team for multiple years now. Not really multiple, but like a handful of years. So I think this signing is a match made in heaven. Obviously, the Flames did have some interest in Kadri about three off seasons ago in 18-19, and we all know what happened in that potential trade deal. So it's an amazing signing for Calgary. Brad Treliving just completes another 360 in the off season, something that I think a lot of fans around the league were like, yeah, this team's pretty much done after Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk were out of their way. But kudos to him. He's kept himself in Calgary for multiple years now, as he's probably going to get extensioned on here soon. So great signing for Brad Treliving. Panos, how do you feel?
Yeah, as you guys said, the center depth for Calgary over the last few years has been like the one thing that was lacking a lot. And picking up Kadri's like fixed that a ton. Even though I doubt he ever has a season like he just had, he still, even before this season, he was a really, really good like second line center still. So to pick him up is big for Calgary. And as you said, like everyone was counting out Calgary after they lost Gaudreau, and there was rumors that they were going to lose Tkachuk because everyone thought they were going to lose him for like just futures. But I think that they've gotten better this season. And Jacob Markstrom even said it too a few days ago, right? He said that he thinks Calgary is better than they were last season. And I agree with that, because now you lose Gaudreau and Tkachuk, who are two amazing wingers, obviously, but you replace Tkachuk with Huberto, who I think is better than Tkachuk. I think Huberto is better than Tkachuk. And then you lose Gaudreau, who, yeah, he's really, really good. But you got to remember the last few years before that, he was struggling to produce. I always knew he was going to get back to a 100-point season. I was always saying it, but he was struggling to produce those last few seasons before this past one. And you get out of it a second-line center in Kadri and a top-four defenseman in Mackenzie Weegar, who I think is a top-20 defenseman in the NHL. So Calgary did probably get better, honestly, in my opinion. I know it's going to take some time to build chemistry, because you're not just going to add three big-time players to your team and just immediately they're all going to fit. But come playoff time, and Calgary is going to make the playoffs, come playoff time, like, they're going to be set, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're in Evan Rodriguez, too. So if they manage to add him, that'd be awesome.
I like Rodriguez. I'm a big Rodriguez fan. That'd be big.
Yeah, like even another name that was thrown out there, Phil Kessel. As Panos didn't mention his name, but he's the second name we were mentioning at the start of the podcast. So Phil Kessel, he takes his talents to the Vegas Golden Knights. So how do you feel, Panos?
Yeah, I took a nap, as we all know. We were supposed to record that podcast that day, actually. We were supposed to record the podcast 2 days ago. And I ended up taking a nap, and I slept for like 4 hours instead. And then I woke up, and Phil Kessel was a Vegas Golden Knight. So that was kind of weird for a bit. I was like, okay. It was a random signing for me. I thought he was going to end up going to Edmonton for sure. But, I mean, we know Phil is a big casino guy, as we know from his days in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, I guess it's a fit there. And he is a kind of a replacement for Max Pacioretty, who they lost. He's not as good as Pacioretty, like even close to him. But you pick up a winger for 1.5 mil, and he's still able to play like top six, I guess, in a lower role and power play. So it's not a bad signing. I'm fine with that. I think he's a little overrated, but.
Yeah, it makes sense. Obviously, it did kind of catch a bunch of people off guard as it wasn't rumored that Vegas was even close or even in on Phil Kessel, so it was kind of mind-boggling. But Kevin, how do you feel?
It's a fine addition. I mean, it's not a risk. It's only $1.5 million for a guy that has proven himself as a goal scorer. Obviously, Vegas is still trying to win. Mm-hmm. So adding Phil Kessel makes sense. And I don't really care about that deal that much.
Yeah, Panos, I know how you felt about Marchessault not giving him 81. So what are your thoughts on that? He takes 8 instead.
You got to give him 81, like, because if Kessel with number 8 is just going to look weird, bro.
Yeah.
He's wearing 8?
Yeah, he's wearing 8.
That is disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah, they just announced that like an hour and a half ago.
Like when I hear that 81, like I just think of Phil Kessel. You got to give it to him. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think of number 8 and immediately go Phil Kessel. So I don't know. That's just a weird name. But didn't touch on it for the Kadri thing, but we all knew. Well, it was a rumor to be that, Nazem Kadri is going to the Islanders. A bunch of insiders said it. John Shannon said it's pretty much a done deal in New York. David Pagnotta said the same thing on NHL Network. But instead, he goes to Calgary. And the biggest question mark that a lot of Islanders fans and even fans across the NHL are like, what the hell is Lou Lamoriello doing in Long Island? So, Panos, let's just hear your thoughts on what Lou Lamoriello has done this offseason, which is nothing, and how do you feel about the Islanders going ahead?
Nothing. Put some respect on Denis Chulofsky's name.
Yeah, like, you know what's bad? When the two biggest things of the Islanders offseason news-wise have been signing Denis Chulofsky and a seventh defenseman being arrested for drunk driving in Sweden. Like, those are the biggest news things for the Islanders this offseason. That's really bad. Like, Lou Lamoriello, I know he keeps trying to run it back because he wants to win a Stanley Cup, like, one time at least, because he's come close with the Islanders. He just has to go, though. Like, he's not really a good GM at all. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. He still has, like, the old-school mentality. Like, and we saw it last offseason when he protected, like, those fourth liners over Jordan Eberle. Like, what was that about? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that just, I totally forgot about that. But, yeah, it's just, like, I honestly don't, like, he's done it with his old teams as well. Once it's almost time to hang the skates and with the franchise he's in, like, he did it with the Devils originally, then he did it with the Maple Leafs towards the end, not to the extent that we're seeing with the Islanders right now, but it's not looking good if you're an Islanders fan. And even from the team perspective, I honestly don't know what that team's going to do next season. Not much. But I think it's time for Lou Lamoriello to hang the skates and just follow his footsteps to the retirement home. So another big, it's not really a big news, but if you follow the NHL, you've probably played EA NHL games. This did create some controversy, even though it shouldn't have. The NHL 23 cover. Instead of being the usual one player, it featured two players, one female and one male. The male being Trevor Zegras of the Anaheim Ducks, and the female being Sarah Nurse of the Team Canada Women's National Team. So, Panos, let's hear your thoughts on the quote-unquote controversy that people are kind of pissed that there's two people on the cover.
Well, I have no problem with it because you guys know I'm a big Sarah Nurse fan, so I don't have any issues there. And Trevor Zegras is a good old Greek boy. He's got some Greek family, so I don't got any issues with either one of those, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly, it's at the end of the day, it's not really about who's on the cover. It's about what the product of the game is. And we all know EA hasn't been the same for like multiple years now. Even though they did introduce a bunch of shit last year, it's not at the same level as some of the other sports games around the gaming world. So, yeah,
the actual cover is ass. I do want to say that, but I don't care about the two players on it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, Kevin, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I like the players that are on it. They're two marketable players. My problem is there's fucking palm trees on the cover.
Yeah, but I think
when you think of hockey, do you think of palm trees? Some tropical sport wearing fucking shorts and. Like, why is Trevor Zegras' crotch on the standard X Factor edition cover?
And they aren't even in full gear. They're like, Zegras is wearing shorts and they're wearing shoes on ice. Like, I don't even know how that makes sense.
It's very weird. It's just, it's too laid back. Mm-hmm. It's not, it doesn't really represent hockey.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird cover, but the players on it are good. I will say that. Although I will also say it is a weird time to be putting Hockey Canada on the cover.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't know why EA would want to be associated with Hockey Canada at the time. Like, especially when like they took Patrick. I mean, Sarah Nurse has nothing to do with the Hockey Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. Nothing against Sarah Nurse
like,
at
just
all.
Just the jersey. I meant like maybe they could have put like her like just a regular NHL branded jersey or something like that. Like, I feel like that would have been. But I don't really care, to be honest. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or
just
even
weird timing.
Or even they could have just used the Olympic jerseys from this year. They don't have the Team Canada branding apart from the shoulders, but you wouldn't have seen that. You could have covered that. So they could have used a different jersey, even like a generic plain one. But I get why a lot of people are up in the air over that. So yeah, that's the NHL cover. Don't really have much to say, but just wanted to touch on it a little. And then obviously we're about a handful of weeks away from training camp starting around the league. There's obviously a lot of players still out there on the market, but there's some key names that did contribute to their teams last season, and they're still out there looking for new teams. So we're going to predict where some of these guys are going to go. And why don't we start off with Evan Rodriguez? Obviously, he played with the Pittsburgh Penguins last year and had a great year. So where do we think Erod is going, Panos?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin said that he's been linked to Calgary. Or did you say that? I don't remember. But
It was Kevin.
Yeah. So he's been linked to Calgary. That would be a good fit. I don't really know. Apparently Vancouver was interested in him too, but they're not anymore. I don't really know about a lot of the remaining free agents, like where they're going to go. It's just kind of a guess because there hasn't been many rumors the last
few
NHL. So for Rodriguez, I'll just say Calgary, I guess, since that's the only rumor I've heard.
Yeah, Kevin, I think you're going to go Calgary too.
I definitely am going to go Calgary.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to. Yeah,
you and can for go Milano, ahead. I think if the Oilers don't get Kane, he'll probably end up going up north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with the Rodriguez thing as well. I think he's a fit for the Calgary Flames in their bottom six. They could even move him up to the top six if they wanted. And obviously, Kevin touched on the Milano thing. There were rumors that it was close. He was close to signing with either one of Edmonton or Calgary earlier in June. So it's going to be fun to see where he goes. Panos, Kevin already said that he might be going to the Edmonton Oilers. So where do you think Sonny Milano is going?
Yeah, I was just about to say one of the two Albertan teams too. I think I feel like I have no actual information on this. It's a kind of a guess, but I feel like he's probably waiting for like an American playoff or an American team that can be a playoff team, just because I don't think he wants to really come to Canada.
Yeah.
Well, he's lived in America his whole life. He's just coming in. He was just playing in California. He grew up in New York. Like, I don't think he really wants to come to like Alberta, right? But I think all the teams that are actually offering him prominent roles and that are going to be good are Canadian teams. Like, I think like the Jets are probably going to be offering him a contract too. Mm-hmm. And then Calgary and Edmonton. So I think like he's going to end up going to one of those three teams. I mean, I know we've seen a lot of players this offseason choose other teams over the Jets though. So I think that was like Edmonton or Calgary.
Yeah, you touched on it. Obviously, Winnipeg lost Paul Stastny to the Hurricanes, and now I think Milano would be a good addition, but it's just a matter of if he wants to come up north or stay down in the U.S. So this guy has had a tough couple of years with injuries and just his career being in kind of a, like, the word isn't coming to my mind, but it's just kind of been in a... It's been kind of a hold that he's been in ever since he's been shipped away from the team he was previously on. PK Subban, I know Panos loves him a lot. Where do you think he's going, Panos?
Yeah, I think he's going to end up going to, like, I could see, like, Toronto. I could see, like, the Rangers. I think he's going to go to a team that's going to contend, like, for a cup. And it's going to be like a bigger market. I could kind of see LA, but I don't really see much room for him. But I don't know. I think he's like going to realize that he's not going to get like a top pairing role anymore for any other team. So he's just going to settle for a place he would actually want to live, where he can do his like social media stuff too, because we know he's big on social media and his partnerships and shit. Mm-hmm. So I think Toronto might be my final guess.
Kevin, what about you?
I have to disagree on Toronto. I don't think there's any space for him. I'm sure he wants to play in the NHL, even in a top six role. Top six, sorry. Wait, top six?
Top four.
Top six. Top six. I don't know why my brain got mangled up there. What I'm trying to say is I think he's fine settling for a third pairing role. I don't think he's fine settling for a seventh D role. Obviously, I'm not PK Subban, so I can't say that for sure, but that's just my guess. I don't think there's space for him on Toronto. I don't know where there's space for him, but I do agree that he probably wants to sign with a team where it's located in a place he wants to live. So I can't really provide much insight here.
Yeah, was that Sandin is unsigned, and I don't know if he's even going to stay there because apparently he doesn't see himself a spot in Toronto.
That's interesting,
then. And then, like, injuries also are key. Like, Jake Muzzin was hurt a lot of last season with concussions. We know that Justin Hall has kind of become hated over the Toronto fan base, so maybe they don't want to keep him there, like, in the lineup. And I think he's better than Victor Mete, Jordy Ben. I think he's better than those guys. He's better than Hall.
You think Subban's better than Hall?
I think so. I think Subban had a good year last year.
No, fair enough. I haven't looked into it.
Yeah, those are some good points. I honestly, like, if the Maple Leafs can find a way to move out some of the guys you just mentioned, like Justin Hall or even the Rasmus Sandin thing that you touched on, I think PK Subban could be a fit there, but it's just, we're just throwing floaters in the air, honestly, because... the NHL, like free agency has been in a stalemate for a month and a half, and some of these guys have been just sitting there waiting to sign or waiting to see how the market shapes up. And then I think some of these guys are going to be PTO candidates, as much as some of these guys won't like that to be the option. But with teams already accruing their cap space to other different players and just other different reasonings, I think some of these guys like PK, I wouldn't really say PK Subban is going to get a PTO, but let's just say he isn't signed for another week and a half or even 2 weeks, I think he will be signed on a PTO. So yeah, those are some of the main guys that are out there on the market. Obviously there's several other guys, but if we keep touching on it, it's going to take a whole like 3-hour episode to go through the list, but we won't keep you to that. And then obviously this week, Fanatics. We all love Fanatics. I know Kevin does. They were a part of a leak. I don't know if it's accidentally or purposefully. It's probably accidentally. They accidentally leaked some of the logos that are going to be used on the reverse retros, reverse retro 2.0 that's coming up for the next season. Obviously, there's the Fisherman coming back for the Islanders. There's the RoboPen coming back for the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's multiple other logos like the Pooh Bear for the Boston Bruins. Multiple other logos and stuff that teams are bringing back. Like even the San Jose Sharks, they're using the Oakland, California Golden Seals concept, but in the Sharks color, Sharks theme. And just several other things. So, Kevin, I know you're a big jersey fan. How do you feel about some of these reverse retros that you may have seen this week?
I think it's great. I'm super stoked to just see the results already. I love the Sharks using the same font as the Seals. I think that jersey is going to be sick. Very happy the Fisherman's coming back. Revamp pedestal is going to be exciting. There's a lot to be excited for. I think this will be way better than the original reverse retro. So yeah. I'm really excited.
Yeah, even I forgot to mention the Soaring Eagle for the Washington Capitals is going to come back. I know how much you hate their jerseys right now, but we'll get into it later. I know you have something planned for that. So, Panos, how do you feel? I know you like jerseys yourself with your latest Instagram post. So let's hear it.
Yeah, go follow my personal account and jersey post. I mean, that's one of the ones I'm excited for, the Penguins bringing back the RoboPen. That'll be cool. I don't know exactly what Montreal is doing, but with the color scheme that they got, like the light baby blue, I feel like that'll be too. And I also like what Winnipeg is doing with theirs based off of their logo. I'm not a big fan of the which one is it? The Edmonton one that was just leaked with the oil.
The McFarlane, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I know I'm going to get hated on because a lot of people love that little drop jersey, but I don't know, man. I don't really like it.
Yeah, the Montreal jersey you talked about, it's paying homage to the baseball team that was there, the Expos. So it's taking inspiration from their colors. And then even just like the Avalanche using the C, the Colorado Rockies jersey concept. And then the Devils just keeping, I guess, they don't want an actual black jersey with their logo instead of just the trademark that they used last year. But I think we're in store for some great jerseys, obviously some great retro logos that fans have been yearning for and they want them back. So it's great to have them back. Like even the Liberty is coming back. Lady Liberty is coming back for the Rangers again, but in a different color scheme. But yeah. Reverse retro is going to be fun this year. Can't wait to see some of these jerseys on the ice and can't wait to maybe grab my hands on a couple of them. So,
I just want to point out that this is the best thing Fanatics has done to the NHL, leaky reverse retro stuff.
they can't do anything else better. I know you love Fanatics, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But now it's on to the World Cup of Hockey. As it was announced earlier this week at the NHL Media Tour in Europe, Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said we're moving full steam ahead, and that means we're continuing to have regular meetings about the World Cup of Hockey, and that the NHL and the NHLPA are moving forward with plans to plan the World Cup of Hockey in 2024, and they're targeting a 17-day window in February to hold a tournament. So, Panos, how do you feel?
Yeah, so you guys know I'm not like the biggest fan of the last World Cup of Hockey, which happened in 2017, right? I think it was
16.
Yeah. Oh, 2016, yeah. So I wasn't like the biggest fan of it just because I kind of found like the Team Europe and Team North America stuff like really stupid. I would rather have all the individual countries play, even though, okay, yeah, we might see some blowouts from Canada and stuff. I just would rather see the actual countries play because, like, a Slovenian kid or, like, a Latvian kid watching play for Team Europe, they're not going to be like, oh, yeah, I want to go represent Team Europe when I grow up. They represent their actual countries. Yeah. So, you know, I just kind of found that stupid, but it did bring some sick jerseys. That Team North America jersey might be, like, my favorite jersey of all time in hockey. As long as they don't do like that stuff again and they just do individual countries, fine with it. Like, I want to see international hockey with the best of the best, like Crosby, McKinnon, McDavid all on the same team, that type of stuff.
Yeah, we were robbed of that, obviously, this year with the Olympics. We were robbed of that. So it'd be fun to see it in another 2 years. So
I really wanted to see Crosby, McKinnon, and McDavid just absolutely dominate Team China. That would have been the funny.
It would have been in China, so I don't think we wanted that risk. Yeah. Kevin, how do you feel? I know you like I think I'm inferring here, but I know you liked the World Cup of Hockey, or am I just lying?
I'm kind of indifferent about the 2016 one. I'm excited that it's coming back, though. I think Team North America was so fun, but like Panos said, I hope that's just a one-time thing, because recreating that would be corny. It just, it wouldn't be good. So I am excited for the upcoming World Cup of Hockey, as long as it's the individual countries and not Team North America and Team Europe. I don't know if I can, I don't know how to correctly explain this, but I felt that the last World Cup of Hockey felt sort of fake. I don't know how else to describe it, but it just felt like an event that happened. It doesn't really hold any special meaning to me. So, like I said, it was pretty corny. It wasn't very special to me. So I hope that this upcoming one feels more rewarding than the last one.
Obviously, it's not the Olympics, which is completely different, but it's kind of in the same spectrum. Obviously, hockey fans have been wanting best on best hockey country wise, and I think we do deserve that. Obviously, with the Olympics being missed out in 2022, and then 2018, the NHL choosing not to go, and then it's been what, like 6 years. Obviously, you get the World Championships each year, but it's been 6 years since best on best, like Crosby and all these guys have been on the same team in six years. So it's going to be fun to see if it does come to fruition. Hopefully this time around, the marketability aspect of this tournament is much higher and much better than it was 6 years ago. And hopefully the NHL hits it out of the park. They're planning to do it in Europe this time around as well, instead of Canada and America. They did it last time. Panos, you had something to say.
Where in Europe or no?
Pardon?
Do we know where in Europe yet or no?
No. I read their article. They want to plan it in Europe. Like, it's several dates. Like, they talked about like the global series and stuff, and then they want to promote NHL wanting to promotion of the game in like the league internationally. So I think they want to give like 4 or 5 games in Europe, from this article that I read that dropped like 2 days ago. So yeah, that's what I've gathered from that article that they dropped on NHL.com.
So what I would like to see, like, for the World Cup is like maybe every 2 years have a World Cup, like, and like in the summer, and just get out. Like, I don't know about getting rid of the World Championship, but I don't know. I kind of find that tournament stupid, because it's like in the middle of the playoffs, like eight teams can't even give their players to the tournament. So we're missing like a bunch of guys, and like a lot of people just don't want to go right after the NHL season too. I'd rather just see like a World Cup every 2 years, like maybe in the summer, right before the season. Something like that, just because like every sport has a World Cup other than hockey that's like consistent, like even basketball. And basketball has less international parity than hockey. It's usually just US dominating, and then a couple of other European countries that can do all right. Hockey actually has more parity in terms of like international stuff. So it's kind of shocking to me that they don't have a World Cup. Meanwhile, basketball has a World Cup.
Yeah, FIBA. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like the summer idea, I think, with just the World Juniors already happening. I think the NHL, I don't think the NHL wants to take that route, just because some of the players, like you even saw like Juraj Slefkovský and Simon Nemec, they didn't play for Slovakia, and how Slovakia wasn't even that good of a team this time around because of these two guys wanting to participate in the NHL training camps instead. And I think if they were to do it in the summer, I think it'd be around after the Stanley Cup Finals. Obviously, some of the guys that are on the Stanley Cup winning teams, they obviously would have to make a tough decision between resting or just playing for their country at the World Cup. I think they should plan it around July. Obviously, not like early July because free agency falls, but I think the latter half of July and even like early August, I think that'd be ideal. But at the end of the day, it's just about what the Players Association wants and what the NHL wants. And like, obviously the marketability aspect of even like doing it in season, I don't really like that, like taking the extended break from the NHL season. I don't know how to feel about that. They were trying to do it this year, obviously, but the Olympic plan was canceled. But we'll just have to wait and see what they do, either if it's in February or in the summer. But great idea there. So the World Cup of Hockey planning its return 2 years from now. And to take a break from all this talk, our season predictions. Panos recently dropped a post, I think it was, or article. It was an article, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. On his season predictions, division by division, obviously the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. So since Panos is the master of this idea currently, Panos, will let you start off.
So my
Pacific. Yeah.
My predictions, like my standings, right?
Yeah, standings.
Okay. So yeah, I had Edmonton at one, Calgary at two. I had Vegas at three, which I don't know about if I would still have that because of the injuries that happened after I did all that. Like that, like the injuries happened after I started my series.
Which injuries?
Like
I
Leonard.
Don't remember.
Leonard getting hurt for the
season. Oh yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if I would still have them at third with like a tandem of Thompson and Brassois, but I would I still think they're a playoff team even with Jack Eichel for a full season now. So and then after that I had Vancouver at four because I think even though their defense is kind of shit, I still think they have a good team. At five I had LA, which actually angered a lot of LA fans, even though I even had them higher in the regular season overall than last year. I just had them lower in the division. But yeah, so I think LA is going to be good. I wasn't trying to knock on them with that. And then at six in the Pacific, I think I had Anaheim. Yeah, and then I had Anaheim as a bottom feeder at six, Seattle at seven, and San Jose at eight. I don't think any of those teams are going to be competitive.
Yeah. And then Kevin, let's hear it for you, Pacific.
Well, I have the same first two. I have Edmonton first solely because of star power. I think they'll work very well in the regular season. Two, I have Calgary. Mm-hmm. 3, 4, 5 is a toss up to me. I can't really predict these. I put Vancouver third. I think a full year with Bruce Boudreau. And if Elias Pettersson goes back to what he has showed, he was even showing that he's still an elite player near the end of last year, too. So I think those factors will help them make a playoff push. And yeah. I know their defense is a cause of concern, but they have Thatcher Demko, who is a very good goalie. So I have them third. Fourth, I have Vegas. I mean, Jack Eichel. You have a star player. If Mark Stone can stay healthy, it really does depend on the health of that team, but I do have them fourth. I have LA fifth. I think LA could easily finish ahead of Vegas too. It's like I said, it's a toss up. Sixth, I have Seattle. They're very average. And yeah. Seven, Anaheim. Eight, San Jose.
Yeah. I think mine's flip-flopped around a bit. It was my hot take that I put on my account as well. I think the Flames are going to repeat as Pacific Division champions. My bias is completely in play here, but I think even if I tried my non-bias take, I think I'd have the Flames at one just based off of everything they've done. Defense is probably the best it's been, better than the Oilers. Goaltending is already better. Jack Campbell, I don't really believe in his hype compared to Oilers fans. Obviously, you can't beat Draisaitl and McDavid. So it's not going to be a gong show like it was last year where the Flames are up by like 10 to 12 points at the end of the season. I think it's going to come down to the wire, 2 to 4 point difference between the teams. I think if it's not the Flames, it'll be the Oilers 100%. But it's going to be a 2 to 4 point difference, in my opinion. So I think I have the Flames at one, the Oilers at two, right behind them. And then obviously, like the rest of our predictions. 3, 4, 5 is all up in the air. I have the Kings at 3. I think they could out, like, it's just flip-flop. Like, I think Canucks could be third as well. I think Kings could be there. But let's just say it's the Kings. And then for 4, I have the Canucks there. And then 5, Vegas. I just, they'll be a playoff team at the threshold. I think Wild Card 2, which is kind of another hot take. But I think they'll be Wild Card 2 just based on the rest of the division and how bad their goaltending is as of right now. Like, obviously, Logan Thompson will be a good tandem goalie with Brassois, but losing Robin Leonard is a huge hit, and obviously trading away Max Pacioretty, even though he is injured for the Canes right now. So Vegas at 5, Seattle at 6, Anaheim at 7, and San Jose at 8. So now on to the Central. I think one is pretty obvious for you, Pano, so I'll let you get on it.
Yeah, I had Colorado at 1. And because they just want to stand, like, mm-hmm. the Stanley Cup, right? Who's going to be there? And I had them second in the league, league wide. So, after that, at 2, I had, I got to pull up my list actually, geez, because
we'll
I
wait for you.
Yeah. I had, at 2 in the Central, I had Nashville. Yeah. Because I really like their defense. I think they have maybe the best defense in the league, to be honest, or at least like top 5 in my opinion. Like, it's really, really good. They just added McDonough. They got Yossi, who's always going to be in contention for the Norris. So Nashville was my second. And then I also like their forward core as well, and UC Saros. At 3 in the Central, I had Minnesota. It was tough between Minnesota and St. Louis. I had St. Louis at 4. I don't know. I'm not like the biggest on either one of those teams. I really think the Central is going to be weak this year. Mm-hmm. So I had them at 3 and 4. At 5, I had Dallas. They don't even have Robertson or Ottinger signed yet. Yeah, which is kind of crazy to me that they don't have them, and it's almost September.
Jim Neal masterclass.
Yeah, like, that's your starting goalie and your best forward. Like, I don't know how you don't have them signed yet, but I mean, whatever. At 6 in the Central, Winnipeg. I don't like Winnipeg. I was hot. I don't like how they look this season. And then last in the Central is obviously Arizona. Like, they're going to be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Kevin, let's hear yours.
Yeah, no, you're very right about the Central being sort of weak this year. It's not that great. First, I have Colorado. Feel like that's the obvious choice. They're still a very good team. Second, I have Minnesota. They have a star in Kaprizov. They have a very solid defense. Goalies are a question mark, though. So, you know what? Actually, I'm going to put them third. I'm going to put Nashville second, because I think Nashville has a better goalie.
Yeah.
Sorry. And they have a Norris finalist. I'm going to put Nashville second, Minnesota third, St. Louis fourth, Dallas fifth. Dallas is very mid to me.
Yeah.
They're like painfully mid. I'm looking at their lineup and I'm just like, oh, geez. Like, they're kind of washed, eh?
Especially from a couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah. 6th, Winnipeg, 7th, Arizona, and 8th, Chicago.
Ooh. Yeah, I think. Number one, for me, it's pretty self-explanatory. You'd be kind of idiotic not to put the Avalanche there. So the Avs at 1, the Preds at 2, the Wild at 3. I think all of our top threes have been the same. And then I have the Blues at 4, the Jets at 5. I think they're slightly better than the Stars. I think they're in the same spectrum as the Stars, but I think they're slightly better. So they're at 5. I still hate Winnipeg. And then Dallas at 6. I think 7 and 8. I think it's between the Hawks and Yotes. Whoever wants to tank for Connor Bedard, I think I'll take the Yotes at 8 and then the Hawks at 7. So now we're on to the Eastern Conference. It's much better looking than the Western Conference. Obviously not a hit on the Western Conference, as we're all we at least cover our fans of teams out west. So let's start off with the Metro. Panos, who do you have first? I think we already know your choice.
Yeah, I had the Rangers winning the President's Trophy, which riled a lot of people up. I mean, I think they're going to be really good. I don't know how, why they're getting so much hate. At two, I have Carolina, who's also going to be really good. I had them even higher in the league-wide. I had them third in the league. But then Patrick got hurt, so I moved them down one to overall to be a fourth. At three, I have Pittsburgh, because I still think they're really good. Even though they didn't do much this offseason, they kind of kept that same core. At four, I had Washington, and I had them being the first wild card in the East. I still think Washington's solid, even though they're going to be missing Backstrom for a lot of the season, like all the season, actually. And then at five in the Metro, New Jersey. I think New Jersey will improve overall, like league-wide. I just don't have them as a playoff team yet. Six in the Metro, I've got the Islanders. They're not going to be good. They're all these last teams that I'm naming right here in the Metro are bottom 20 in the league for me. So bottom 10, I meant. Islanders, six in the Metro. Seventh in the Metro, I've got who the heck was it, bro?
Oh, Columbus?
Yeah, Columbus. Yeah, see, they're so mid, I forgot where they and then at last, I've got Philadelphia, who's just really, 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 really bad. Like
dog water. Yeah.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah. Kevin, let's hear your predictions.
First, I have the Rangers as well. It was going to be Carolina until Pacioretty got injured. That is a massive loss for Carolina. You're losing a 30-goal scorer. I think that's enough to lose you some points in the standing. So I have New York Rangers first, also because of Igor. Second, I have the Carolina Hurricanes, still a very solid team. Third, I have Pittsburgh, also still a very solid team. Still have elite players, great core. Fourth, I have New Jersey. I think they definitely took some steps this year, adding Marino. And I think if they can stay healthy, I think they'll take that fourth spot in the division there, because Hughes and Dougie Hamilton missed some time last year. If they can stay healthy, those are two elite players that will help them a lot. And they also added Palat, forgot about that. Fifth, I have Washington. I think their defense is a little bit suspect. Forward core is still solid. They still have Ovechkin, but I think...
And can't forget your favorite player, Kemper.
Oh, my God. This is their time. This is their year they fall off. Six, Islanders. Seven, Columbus. Columbus, actually, they kind of surprised me. I thought they were better than they were. I looked at their lineup, and I'm like, oh, never mind. Looking. Never mind. They're still struggling a little bit. So Columbus, seven, and eighth, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think our top three is the same. So I have the Rangers at one, Hurricanes at two, Pittsburgh at three. I have Washington at four. I have them as the wild card, second wild card spot. I think they're going to have a little drop off compared to last season. And then five, New Jersey. I think they're kind of on the threshold of making it, but not there yet. I'm not really convinced on their goaltending, Mackenzie Blackwood, and just like, I don't really know. And then seven, I have the Islanders. Six, I have the Islanders. At seven, I have Columbus for self-explanatory reasons. And at number eight, it's pretty much easy. The Philadelphia Flyers. Kudos to Mr. Fletcher doing his good work in Philly. So now on to the Atlantic. Panos, I think we already know what number one is, so I'll let you start with that.
Yeah, I had Toronto at number one, which got a ton of hate, but people have to realize, you know, they're not a bad regular season team. They're just really, really bad in the playoffs, as we know. At two, I had Tampa Bay. I still think they're going to be really, really dominant, even though they lost pieces like Palat and McDonough, which is going to hurt them. But I still think they have a really, really good core with Vasilevsky, Hedman, Stamkos, Kucherov. You're not going to be bad ever with those guys. At three, I had Ottawa, which people got mad about that. But I really like Ottawa. I really like their top six, or their top nine even. I like their defense, even though Zaitsev is on the top pairing. He's kind of bad, but I like Shabbat a lot. I like Zub. I like Sanderson. So, yeah, at four, I have Florida, I'm not a big fan of. A lot of people were mad about that, Florida fans specifically. I kind of see them kind of mid, to be honest. I really don't like their team apart from their first line and then Aaron Ekblad. At five, I had Detroit, which Detroit is another team that's just kind of mid for me. I don't have much to say about them. At six, I had Boston, who Boston is like people got mad about that. I got to say Boston is a cup contender for me if they're all healthy. And if they can survive the injuries at the start of the season, I think they can contend for the cup. It's just like they're missing Marchand and McAvoy for months. And yeah. People don't realize how big of a loss that is. Like McAvoy is a top five defenseman. Marchand's usually a top five winger. Like those are two really big losses into the season. Mm-hmm. At seven, I had Buffalo, which they're going to improve this season overall, but they're still not close to a playoff spot yet. And then at eight, I had Montreal, obviously.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory on that. But Kevin, let's hear your Atlantic predictions.
It's pretty much the same except for the bottom two. First, Toronto. Mm-hmm. I mean, Austin Matthews, come on. They're an elite regular season team. Second, Tampa Bay. Third, Ottawa. If they can add that top four D-man, they'll be a really good team. Mm-hmm. They already are, but if they can add a top four D-man, they'll be even better. Fourth would be Florida. I'd definitely have Boston here if they had their star players. But for now, it's Florida, who I'm just going to say they're not that good. They really are not that good this year. I mean, their second line has Balsers and Bennett. Come on, that's your second line? And I bet you if you ask a casual Panthers fan to name anyone on their defense other than Ekblad, I don't think they could do it.
That's not accurate.
I'm sorry, but their defense is not good. They have an inconsistent goalie. Everything other than the first line is very questionable. I mean, their fourth line is Lomberg, Lewis Durain, and Hornquist. I don't know. I don't like Florida. I'm sorry, but... they are slightly better than a crippled Bruins and Detroit. Anyways, fifth is Detroit, also a mid team. They have just some, their free agency signings just made them
mid, yeah, Billy Huso and David Perron.
And Kopp. Six, Boston, like Pano said. Yeah. If they need to survive the first multiple months without Marchand and McAvoy. That's one of the best defensemen in the league and one of the best wingers in the league. So that's not an easy task. That's the only reason why I have them as low as they are. If they're healthy, they'd be fourth. Seventh, Montreal, and eighth, Buffalo.
Ooh. Yeah. And then I think our top three is pretty much the same. Toronto, number one, self-explanatory there. One of the best regular season teams over the last few years here. Tampa, number two. Ottawa, number three. I think if they can add someone like Jacob Chychrun to their defense, I think that'll be immense. I think that'll add a lot. So we'll see what they do there. But currently, number three for me. Like all of us mentioned, Florida at four, even though if Boston was healthy, I'd have Boston there as well. And then... Florida at four, if Boston isn't healthy. At five, I'd have Detroit. Six, Boston. Seven, Buffalo. Then eight, Montreal. So, okay, do you guys, this is just a quick question. Do you guys think Ottawa can acquire Jacob Chychrun?
Yeah, I mean, Dorian has been really active, so I could see it. But it's just, I don't know, like this close to the season, it would be kind of hard to make a big move like that.
Mm. Yeah, what about you, Kevin?
I mean, I guess. There was a funny Dorian quote today. I'll read it out. "We feel very comfortable with the team we have now, but if we can add a top four D, we would do that. Other teams see me coming from a mile away now, though."
Damn.
Well, yeah, right?
Yeah, damn. Yeah, I think... They should be able to add him, but it's just a matter of if they want to pull the trigger on that. Obviously, they'd be better off doing that. I think they have the pieces to make it work, but it's just a matter of if they want to do that mid-season or if they want to do that next year. So yeah, those are our 2022-2023 division rankings for this episode. And now it's on to the favorite segment of the episode podcast that we missed last episode. Rapid fire with Panos. Panos, are you ready? You don't know the question again.
Yeah.
Okay, your time starts now. Kevin, you can go.
As Joe mentioned, referenced earlier in the episode, I have to ask, when will the Capitals rebrand their ugly, outdated jerseys?
I think like a few more years, maybe after Obi.
Ooh. And for me, where does Victor Rask play this season?
Oh, I guess.
Oh, damn.
How many points will Andre Kuzmen go get next year? Bro,
weird, bro. Like, 37.
30. Okay. Okay.
That's respectable. You know this guy. How many points will Blake Lizotte have this year?
Oh, my Lord, man. Those are points.
Points.
Like 15. He's a defensive.
As you know, the selling point of NHL 23 was being able to match with other consoles, but not being able to fucking play with them. So I'm just wondering, what will the selling point of NHL 24 be?
I don't know. I can find
this. Let's hear it.
Is there any more of these or what?
There's one more if you don't want to answer that. You complete the fifth. And who gets fired first? Mike Sullivan or Sheldon Keefe?
Probably Sheldon Keefe, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's the rapid fire. As you can see, it's just out of nowhere, random players and random questions. So yeah, that's episode number 6. Any thoughts, boys?
No, it was a good episode, and as I said, it's probably one of our last ones of the off season because we're getting close to the actual season.
Yeah, we'll get ready for that. Kevin, any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
No final thoughts. Just end it now.
Yeah, that's episode 6. Panos, I'll let you sign off as usual.
All right, we'll see you guys in the next one, boys.